I know there's a couple folks out there that don't know what they're doing for this summer yet. So we have that solved for you. We figured it out. You are going to go to cheapcaribbean.com to find deals on all your favorite all-inclusive destinations, and you're going to spend your summer in paradise.
Yeah, guys, come on, take a break. You work hard. Everybody's working so hard. Swim up to the bar in Punta Cana or sit with your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun. You can score an extra $175 off site-wide vacations of 4 nights or more now through June 3rd.
Summer is going to be here before you know it. So do your deal and find vacays in your price range at cheapcaribbean.com. That's cheapcaribbean.com.
You guys, have you heard about Squarespace? You must have, because I talk about it all the time. Their website has helped me with my businesses, but it will also help you grow your business. And it really does take the guesswork out of building a website. They have so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of our favorite product features is the Fluid Engine. With Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. Start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine, built in and ready to go on any new Squarespace site. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Oh my God, this summer, I just want to be sitting somewhere in the sun reading a book all summer long. And I know that's not the reality, but I'm going to build this fantasy in my head, and Macy's is going to help me do it.
Do it.
I'm going to get a caftan. I can't
I
wait.
need you in one of those giant straw hats that
Yes.
says Bon Voyage.
Easy.
Guys, check out Macy's.com for new bathing suits, beach towels, even floaties for the kids. They have all the poolside and beach essentials that we need for our summer and yours too.
Shop at Macy's.com or in store.
Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant makes navigation a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while you're on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
I don't know about y'all. I love the holidays and they also stress me out. Yesterday, I was trying to get everybody's gifts wrapped and I just needed a second. I was on my fourth paper cut and I was like, okay, take a walk around the house, calm yourself down. And you know what I did? I went and got myself a cookie and I felt better. So all I'm saying is if you're tired or besieged by paper cuts, I think you deserve a cookie too.
Agree. Guys, Keebler Sandies are buttery. They're shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, pecans, and almonds.
Each Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by those cute little Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies. It's the perfect treat that'll keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, drama girl. All about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl.
Cheering for the right team,
drama queens.
You could be
drama queen.
The smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Friends, we're back. Did you miss us?
Hi.
I missed you guys. Listen, this really is the best part of my week because I get to like blow my family off and say, oh, sorry, we have 2 hours. This is our lady time. Tonight, we got to hang watching episode 9 with arms outstretched, which the air date was November 18th, 2003. This is after fighting with his father and Haley. Nathan succumbs to the pressure and he takes amphetamines. Dun, dun, dun. Oof. To help him play basketball. So in previous episodes leading up, we've had casual gunplay. We've had like suicidal tendencies. What else have we had?
We touched on pills a little with Brooke in the last one.
Yeah. Ew, yuck. Is this what kids were doing in 2003? I just can't even remember.
I don't know. Maybe. Also, as you pointed out well, while we watched the episode, why was he taking them for like 4 days leading up to the game?
Why not just the game? It was excessive.
Yeah, so lots to discuss. First and foremost, Brooke's juicy suit at the top of the episode.
Oh my God. With stripes, and I had stripes on my backpack. Brooke's just all sorts of stripey.
It's a roadmap.
Yeah.
I was a little confused in this episode with Luke. Because he seemed like two different people. We were getting a new side of like bad Lucas, I guess. What did you guys think?
Yeah, because you know, we were talking about what a sort of revelation it was to be watching now and realize that he's like fully playing these two girls, these best friends. And
scripted to do that. Like someone thought that was a good idea.
Someone was like, oh, this is perfectly okay for a young boy to like say this to this girl and this to this girl. And while one's passed out, flirt with the other. Like it's so out of control. And then in this episode,
she's asleep.
So I'm going to hit on her friend. Like what? And then in this episode, it's like, it's so weird because it's like they were writing him to be like the broody book guy. But then also they were like, and be like a young guy starring on a TV show. Like it's so.
That's very sexy the way he said that against you against the wall when you were showing him your tattoo.
Yeah, I was like I was uncomfortable and I did the scene and I was like, oh God, this is very overt.
It just felt out of character to me. It just seemed like there's a lot like, okay, I'll give Lucas space to experiment with, you know, feeling out different crowds and like, who do I want to be in different environments? But the way he was interacting with Brooke, I don't know, for me, it just felt out of character. I just didn't buy it.
The only thing that makes sense to me about that is he's been a good guy. He came like he was real slow burn with Peyton. Like, I'm going to respect your space. I'm going to try to talk to you about feelings and things. And he got burned and it didn't work. Yeah. And she blew him off. And so there's kind of a like, okay, well, screw it mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, let me try being this other guy. Nathan certainly seems to get everything he wants by acting this way.
And so I wanted to see a change. I wish I would have seen a moment like they could have written in some kind of moment where he was like, he's standing there looking in the mirror and thinking about this memory, whatever. And it's like, you know what? And he makes the decision. I'm going to go for it. And I just needed something. I needed a switch.
Right.
I got to see it.
That was missing in the writing, him making a choice. And I was thinking that something that I'm realizing as we're talking about it is perhaps some of the what felt like really different or outlandish behavior, out of character behavior, is also motivated by the fact that it's really the first time we see two of the high school kids in a grown-up environment.
Yeah.
True.
It's a lot of like make-believe, like let's be grown-ups.
Yeah, they got into the bar so easy, got served liquor.
It was passed off so casually. Brooke's like, oh, I made us fake IDs with your yearbook photo, as if that's an easy thing to do. Like, what? but suddenly you have these high school kids in a grown-up space. And as we were watching it, I was like, oh my God, you're right, Hillary. This is an episode where we see Lucas behaving more like Nathan. But what struck me that I kind of forgot about, you know, we'd all been, I don't know what, 21 for a couple of weeks.
Like whole
3 weeks. How old was Chad at this point? Like 24 or something?
No,
like,
he's only a year older than we are.
No, he's not. He's 3 years older than us, isn't he?
No, he's a year older than us, but he'd been working for so long. He'd been like in Cinderella Story, Freaky Friday. He'd been on Gilmore Girls, Dawson's Creek. So he'd done all of this work before where he was cast as the sexy guy. And that was like what the fan base wanted to see him doing.
Mm-hmm. He seems like a grown up in this episode.
Like a college boy in this episode.
It came easy to him.
It did. Yeah. It came very easy.
Wow. Yeah.
But by the way, like the bar that you guys shot in, we've mentioned on this podcast before. Let's get in Blue Post memories.
Blue Post. We love the Blue Post.
Yeah. The Blue Post has skee ball in the back. Darts was a big deal there. Mm-hmm. And the pool tables, I mean, those were jamming. If you could flirt with a boy on those pool tables.
I played a lot of darts and a lot of skee ball.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Skee ball? They had skee ball?
But I wish I had gotten good at pool. Like, oh, by the way, Brooke Davis is a casual pool shark, which we all forgot. Yeah. Why didn't we keep that storyline going?
Yeah, why didn't we have one on Trick? We needed a pool table at Trick. I'm annoyed.
When Close Over Bros was like low on cash, you could have gone and hustled for it.
I could have been like, you, Victoria, I'm going to go make money pool sharking.
Oh, God.
Girls, work it for money.
I would have loved if that had continued. Also, I would have loved to have had an excuse to get good at pool because I'm not. And I wish I was.
It'd have been fun.
I don't trust girls who are. I'm like, what are you up to?
What are you doing? But it's one of those things when we watch the scene, like, how cool does it look? It looks cool.
It looks cool. It really does.
Did you guys get tattoos in high school?
No.
What? Joy! No, I was a clean teen. No. But here's what I'll say. I had the boyfriend in high school who had tattoos. My boyfriend was bad.
Oh, really?
In fact, there's a picture of him. There's like a full spread of him in the yearbook because he had an eyebrow piercing and he had tattoos.
They let him come to school with a piercing in his eyebrow?
Oh, yeah. He was mad. So where are you, boy? He's out there somewhere, probably still being bad. But yeah, he had an eyebrow piercing and he had a Wu-Tang Clan tattoo on his wrist. Ooh. And then there was like another one. God, I feel like it was on his leg. I can't remember. But it was like a scandalous thing.
Oh, of course. In high school? Yeah. I mean, how old were you guys when you got your first tattoos?
I got mine in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. From a tattoo artist named Sarah Peacock,
I remember that.
Yeah. Sarah Peacock's really like a great tattoo artist. If you can score an appointment with her in Wilmington, you should do that.
Yeah.
And she did the S on my wrist for Scott. And then she did a tattoo on my ribs like right before I left town. And it felt like it was right when I was closing certain personal chapters. And I was just like, let's go memorialize this. Forever. You had one on your foot, though, when we started shooting. Was that already there?
Oh, I got mine the day I graduated high school.
Did you really? Did?
Yeah. Yeah, I drove into the East Village and got a tattoo on Christopher Street.
Whoa, Joy. I need to know more about, 17-year-old Joy in her apartment driving to the East Village with your Mariah Carey hoop earrings.
Oh, my God.
I feel like the more I watch Friends, because I'm binging it right now at night. It's like my comfort show. The more I realize I'm Phoebe.
Yes.
I have memories. And I feel like I've lived so many different lives, you know, and Phoebe's like, oh, yeah, when I lived in Prague, and everybody's looking at her like, what? I'm like, wait, I think that's me. I've just
that
always
is
got such random
you.
Parts of I mean, my life that I forget about.
I hope
about.
You take this as a compliment, but 100% yes, you're yes. Phoebe. I mean, our season one nickname for you was Joypiter.
That's right.
Do you remember that? And like,
that's right.
It was just because like Joy was always so comfortable and like, I'm on a different planet. And what are you guys talking about? Like agents and casting directors? No, we're talking about like Victorian homes and you know, like
and
we're
dress.
Talking about something totally obscure today. And you know, have you guys ever created gold jewelry?
I remember people used to think I was mad or grouchy a lot because I've got my 11s, you know, right between my two eyes, the lines in my forehead. And those are just genetic. Every woman in my family has those from a young age. But I was always thinking really intently and quiet. And when I go into my own world, I'm gone. Like you can be talking to me and I don't see you or hear you. And it's not personal. I'm just, my brain can't, I can't multitask the same. I'm just gone. I'm somewhere else.
It's a skill set. You don't want to
hear. But people would think I was so grouchy.
I didn't ever clock it as grouchy. I just clocked it as she's got better shit going on than what we're talking about. You know? Yeah. Yeah, that's you're
Joy,
fun, Phoebe.
I love you as Phoebe. And I love you on your planet. And I love your... Were you even 18 yet when you got your tattoo on your foot?
I wasn't 18. No, I was still 17. I think I just... Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, actually. Mm-hmm. No, I was... I had just turned 18. That's right. That's why they tattooed me, because I could show my ID.
I didn't get my first tattoo until I was 23. And here, I'm going to embarrass myself. You guys, love Goldie Hawn so much.
Oh, yes.
I was closing a personal chapter in my life at the time. Hillary, we have this in common.
And just closing those books.
I just close them and set them on fire. And I read Goldie's book, A Lotus Grows in the Mud. And it changed my life. Actually, when our sweet friend Danielle was going through a time, I gave her my copy with all my notes in it. I was like, I never do this. This is the inside of my heart. Read this book.
Wow.
So I think it's been like just sort of passed around groups of women going through transitions. But I got my first tattoo here in LA at the Shamrock on Sunset. And then I got my next couple in Wilmington. I've just kind of racked them up ever since.
We just have to hide them. I just put them away.
Yeah, that's why 6 of my 7 are white. All my ink is white.
Are they really?
For one tattoo, yeah. Which is really fun. It's like such a party trick when you show people, because they're like, what do you mean you have 7 tattoos? And you start showing them where they are, and people are like, oh my God, I see you all the time.
Sophia pulls out a black light. And she's like, unce, unce, unce.
I'm like, unce, unce, unce. Let's go to Sweden. And like, once people see them, they can't unsee them.
The fun tattoo. Did that symbol really mean fun? Do we know?
That would be fun to find out.
I feel
what did
like,
your symbol mean?
I don't remember what Brooke's tattoo meant. That's another thing. So for one episode, Brooke was a pool shark. And for one episode, Brooke had a tattoo. And then they just went away. And I realized that the entire thing happened as a vehicle for them to put that tattoo on Chad's arm for Lucas, because Chad has a real tattoo on his shoulder and they were having such a hard time covering it up.
Yeah.
Oh, is that his real tattoo?
No.
No, but it's raised. Mm-hmm. So they were having so much trouble covering it with flesh tone that they needed an excuse to put a bandage over his arm for basketball.
Yep. They couldn't get it to stay on, and when he'd sweat, it would kind of run. And they were just really struggling, and they realized that if they covered it and then put a tattoo over it, it did just enough for the eye on camera to take away the texture of his covered up tattoo.
Did they write this whole
They wrote this whole thing to get Lucas a tattoo. Dude. So they could put a bandage on
a short sleeve shirt, right?
He could have worn a shirt under his jersey, but they wanted to show off all the boys' muscles, so they weren't going to do that.
Okay, our fabulous producers are giving us a note. They're saying he supposedly got the word fun tattooed on his arm in characters that, you know, Chinese characters. In reality, the Mandarin characters are the equivalent of the word have.
Okay, wait, no, this is great. This is what I was going to say. I remember Joy, much like Haley's penis hat. I remember Mark and the writers roasting Chad because they were like, yeah, you know, we're going to say Lucas got a tattoo that says fun and it says something else. Joy, how'd you feel watching Craig Sheffer lay in the law down?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, all hot and bothered, baby. So exciting.
Oh, he was so stern.
He was so stern. That was great. And Lucas needed it. And I loved that he, you know, came around and was willing to help him out with his janky tattoo that got all infected and stuff.
Infected.
The rotten tattoo.
It rotted.
Drugs and tattoos don't work that way.
No. Can we talk about Craig Sheffer's archaic threats when he goes, what'd you do, join the Navy? And then he's talking about Lucas's tattoo and he goes, you could get an infection or hepatitis or like
HIV
what?
He throws out.
He does.
Yeah. And then make some like offbeat reference to getting a tattoo in the Philippines, which is so off tone.
Like what is this?
And then the threats of bread and water. I mean, yeah, he definitely was like, that was real old school.
Somebody from the 30s wrote that scene.
Yes.
Slay.
Somebody that was I served in World War II and we got bread and water, see? And you'd get a tattoo if you got really wasted and it would get infected.
It's like Reefer Madness.
What is this?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's going to fall off, kid.
There was also some interesting stuff on the other side of Keith, which is Dan, and how Dan, you know, coming off of the last episode where he was, it seemed he was, well, he was definitely more introspective. He was definitely processing a little bit more about his life, where he is now, the choices that he's made. It seemed like Dan was really taking some time to think about those things. And that definitely bled over into this episode. So we have him being more introspective now. He's being tender with Nathan in the hospital. He seems like he's really, you know, looking out for Nathan and trying to help and trying to make some changes. And we learn more about why he is the way that he is. And and then he blows it all up by not calling Deb, by trying to bail Nathan out and threatening the doctor.
And also by telling Nathan it's okay, the scouts won't remember it.
Right.
Mm. Like, he doesn't care at all about his mental or physical well-being.
No.
He's just like college.
And the fact that he didn't, it was more important to him to be the parent that was there for Nathan, that he specifically did not let Deb know that he could be the hero.
So he could use it against her.
Oh, that was
competitive in every aspect of his life.
Yeah.
You know, even in like the parenting part. It's I'm the favorite. He would pick me, just so you know.
Yeah, the narcissism was out of control.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you said it, you know, just, it was an exclamation watching his behavior. I mean, you literally went, the narcissism.
Yeah.
It's so toxic. And even when he realizes he's been too hard on Nathan, and he's saying, you're never going to break my record and all this nonsense that shouldn't matter to a parent. When he comes back before the game and says, Nathan, I said that to you because nothing would make me happier than you breaking my record. And there's one beat. And then he says, but I don't think you will. It's like, oh, my God. Even your apologies are filled with attacks.
Can't help himself. Can't help himself.
He's a monster.
He's a monster.
This is like a telltale marker of a narcissist too, is that there, you know, there's a lot of people who they'll say, oh, this person can't be a narcissist because they have these deep feelings. Narcissists supposedly can't feel anything. They have no empathy. So you think like, oh, I see this person crying. I see them feeling bad. No. He feels bad because there are consequences for his actions, and he is feeling the pain of the consequence. So he is feeling bad for himself. Yeah. It has nothing to do with anyone else. And you really see that in flying colors in this episode, I think, with Dan.
I wonder if they should use our show in like psychology courses.
They really should.
Name that diagnosis.
I think that's part of why it feels so good to finally see Deb Scott raise her voice.
Yes.
And to tell him to get out and to call him a smug son of a bitch. Oh, it felt nice.
That's right.
Well, we have a guest who was one of our ladies who we could scream and cuss with back in base camp.
That's
we're going to take a little bit of a break, and then one of our favorite humans is joining us. Don't go anywhere.
Woo!
Oh, man, I can't tell you how many times I have been, I get this little notification pop up. It tells me that I've subscribed to something that I don't know even what it is. And it's like, oh, $39.99 or $62.45 annually is coming up. Do you want it? And I'm like, I don't know what this is.
But I have no idea.
Going on there's too many things going on in my day. When am I going to have time to go dig through all these files and figure out what's what? I need help. And I think we figured out the way. Rocket Money, it's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses.
I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps.
Yeah, I love how the dashboard just shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and it keeps my spending on track.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. So cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/queens.
That's rocketmoney.com/queens. rocketmoney.com/queens.
Friends, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home? I don't think so.
I don't think there is. No, no. Oh, that feeling of just walking in the door and it's like, my life is okay. I'm not a total disaster. Like,
yeah.
I really feel better about myself when my house is clean. And I think the best way to achieve that relaxing feeling of a clean home, Clorox Scentiva.
Clorox Scentiva provides a powerful clean with refreshing scents. And you can find your home's signature scent. It might be coconut, grapefruit, lavender. There is a scent for every vibe.
Oh, it's grapefruit for me, all the way.
Lavender for me.
Friends, transform your home into an oasis.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence.
Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Friends, we need a second to talk about Squarespace. Squarespace has so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of the product features that I love is their asset library. You can upload, organize, and access all of your content from one place. With the new asset library, you're able to manage all of your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. They also have flexible website templates, so you can get started with one of their professional website templates with designs for every category and use case. Then, you just customize your look, update content, and add features to fit your unique needs. You can make any Squarespace template do what you want, so your idea, your brand, or your business stands out online on every device. Plus, they will make selling your products on an online store a breeze. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So I play this little game every morning where I leave the house looking decrepit. And then I drop my children off at school. And then I get to my office and I take out a nice, cute little bag that came with my Thrive Cosmetic order. And with just a couple of products, I'm able to look like a normal, happy, healthy human again. It's incredible. I love these products. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. With clean, skin-loving ingredients, their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. Now, a few of my favorite products include their incredible Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. It's easy to use waterproof pencil, holds like wax, and blends like a powder. Just line brows to give this some structure and create natural looking strokes of hair to fill in sparse brows. It comes with a spoolie brush to lift and tame brows after applying the pencil, and there are 8 shades to choose from that adjust to your natural brow color for a perfect match every time. Now, my other favorite product, I've been talking about this forever, is the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. And it's super easy to remove, you guys. This is my favorite part. It just slides right off with warm water, doesn't leave smudges, doesn't pull your eyelashes out. It's incredible. Its nourishing ingredients support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/drama. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/drama for 10% off your first order.
I think this is such a brilliant invention, and I wish somebody had come up with it earlier, but I'm glad we have it now. You know, I've been doing theater since I was a little kid. My mom has all these videotapes of me and all these productions. And then we also have all of our family movies and all of the family photo albums and all of the everything that just takes up so much space. And I'm so grateful that Legacy Box created this whole platform to be able to condense these amazing memories down into something that's actually tangible and easy to access.
Well, and with Mother's Day fast approaching, it is a great gift for the whole family. So you can relive moments like wedding days, first steps, or the embarrassing haircut you had in the 90s. You can reconnect with your family's history and hear your grandmother's voice again for the first time.
Guys, the process is so easy. You just send in your legacy box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. And their team professionally digitizes everything by hand. In the USA, you'll get everything back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with your originals. It's so easy.
Yeah. I mean, again, the VHSs, my new project is that I found Jeffrey's big, huge storage containers of VHS. And he was making TV shows in the late 80s, early 90s that I never got to see. This is my chance. So
all of his pilots that never aired, right?
I love those old beta tapes.
Yes.
So you guys can do this too. Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories. Just go to legacybox.com/drama to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever. That's legacybox.com/drama.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited.
I'm so excited.
Guess who's here?
I'm pumped that she figured out how to use Zoom. Oh my God. JoJo, can you see us?
Hi! Now I can.
JoJo.
Oh, we're so excited to see you. Everybody at home, this is JoJo Stevens. She took care of us for the majority, my run on One Tree Hill, certainly. But JoJo
Mama
was
Bear.
Our key hair and our key troublemaker back in base camp on One Tree Hill. You know where all the bodies are buried.
Oh, yeah. JoJo knows where all the bodies are buried. And also, you just were like our solace of all things. I screamed so loud when you came on camera, the dog thinks something's wrong with me. So I said, hiya.
Hey, y'all. Just got off work. I'm sitting in my car.
Tell us what you're working on. I know, but tell everybody at home what you're working
on. I'm working on the Righteous Gemstones with Danny McBride.
Woo.
And John Goodman and
yes.
Walton Goggins. I almost said Wyatt. And Edie Peterson. You know I'm terrible at the last
name. You know, you only know their character names because you got to look at a call sheet and see who's sitting in your chair in the morning.
No, I know the character names better than I know their names.
JoJo, you don't age. You look exactly the same. Oh my gosh.
Oh, well. If I hadn't had a little cocktail, I could see all better and I wouldn't have to put my glasses on and I'd say,
wait, hold on. Let's get into cocktail hour with JoJo.
Cocktail hour feels real important.
Yes.
So last week I told the story about that time that I had to make out with Chad and you gave me a shot back in base camp to give me strength. Mm-hmm. The JoJo cocktail hour is a legend. Is it continuing on this production?
No, everybody's scaredy cat.
What?
Oh, no. Christy's working with me. Brian doesn't drink. Brian Law says hello. Christy says hello.
Oh, Brian. Tell us your drink of choice, your trailer drink of choice, JoJo.
Oh, yeah.
My trailer drink of choice. Well, it depends who will drink with
hypothetically,
me.
Hypothetically, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically, vodka.
Yeah.
Hello, vodka. Chelsea.
Yeah. JoJo's a vodka purist. God bless. Joe, when you got involved in the show, how did that come about? Who called you? Because you came in right away, after the pilot.
I was with Mike Tolan.
Okay.
He was
our producer.
He was the guy. I mean, he, to me, he was the one that started the show. And the you know, leather pants and stuff like that came later. So I was, you know... If you remember, I was going to exit the show because of the way certain people were treating me. And I called Mike Tolan to tell him, sorry, dude, but this is not working out. And he said, no, let me make a phone call. The next thing I know, I'm in the office of certain producers. And I kind of let them know that teamwork's my deal. And it changed after that. So,
wow.
Good.
Ooh.
If anyone could lay down the law,
you know what? Teamwork was your deal, and it is. And I remember that being such
a focal point for us when we were in the trailer, you know, especially when there were things that, you know, we were all, especially with the girls, there were lots of misunderstanding, lots of things that, you know, we were hearing from other people, or, you know, as we've said, there was so much division. And I remember that you were constantly working to get us all on the same team, on the same page. And it was, that's a lot of extra effort that you didn't have to do. You know, you were just there to do our, to sit there to do our hair. And instead, you poured your heart and soul into all of us when we were so young and needed guidance. And I mean, I love you. I miss you, and I'm grateful for your guidance there.
Oh, thanks. Guys, I listened to one of your episodes, and you guys were talking about your characters and your, I'll probably start crying. But you were talking about your characters and their relationships. And you guys were all living your lives and your relationships, and everything was so fast. And
yeah,
I wanted you to slow down. But then again, I know I remembered, I was, you know, a lot younger then. And I remembered the times when I was building my relationships and how much fun it was, and the feeling and getting the butterflies and stuff. But then again, at the same time, you were being pushed, you know, kind of, I don't know, just worked on. And
yeah,
just manipulated and stuff. You know, there was good stuff that came out of it, stuff. But I was always like, oh my God, I wish they could just say, I hope you can look back and go, wow.
You encouraged me to get in trouble. I remember like being real square, being a real prude. Yeah. And Joe's like, but here's the deal. You could go out and have some fun and nothing bad would happen. Every love letter I ever got, I'd show to Joe sitting in her chair, you know, like it was good to have a touchstone where I could be like, am I being bad? And Joe's answer was always no. Baby.
You counseled all of us through not only the moments when we were falling in love, but the moments where things were falling apart. I mean, we were joking a couple episodes ago. We were just dying laughing. I was like, where do you think all the engagement rings went between us? Because everybody's got a couple. And like, oh God, you're right. We wanted to like prove that, you know, we were all grown up and we had everything figured out. And I will give you so much credit because you held us and you mothered us and you gave us great advice, but you never told us what to do.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And I can't imagine how many times you had to bite your tongue because we did some stupid.
I've never bit my tongue with joy. Would I?
You
would. Would I never bit my tongue with joy?
I don't know. I'm sure you had to. Constantly.
I love when Joy went through her experimental hair phase. Remember when like you would put the little tiny braids in your hair and then you had unicorn hair for like a second? How, Joe, okay, so hair is obviously something that we talk about a lot on the show because that was how we all tried to express ourselves or, you know, just feel like we had a little bit of control over what we were doing. How exhausted were you doing 300 hairdos on 300 different girls?
Let me tell you. When I interviewed for a job after One Tree Hill, it looked like I had, you know, a lot of resumes are like long and, you know, 50 things on them. Well, I had to point out that on my time on One Tree Hill, I did over 500 hairstyles. So then that kind of opened their eyes. So everybody listening out there, if your hairstyle's just starting, write down the number of hairstyles.
Yes.
But, wow.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, you were fighting humidity with two girls with curly hair. You know, one of them had to be straight and one had to be curly, but it all had to be done with an iron, which doesn't stay in humidity. Water just lets it all out. So that's a big challenge that you were constantly battling.
And also, guys, right now, these days, I mean, and after we left, you know, it's just me, Christy, and a third. After I left, I think there was like two or three more people hired and, you know, and another trailer and a whole team for a second unit. And nowadays doing four people is unheard of because, you know, it's like,
oh my God,
it's like mini movies, you know, per episode on, you know, episodic, but, we shot in the rain. If it didn't rain, you girls were out in the weather.
And what that means for the folks at home when JoJo says, if it didn't rain.
Oh yeah.
So a funny thing can happen sometimes on camera. It can be raining. But if the drops are small, they won't, quote, read on camera. You won't be able to see them. So they would put us out in the actual rain. and, you know, come and blot us down with a tissue every couple of takes so there weren't drops on our faces.
Maybe.
But we'd be standing in the rain and then they'd look at JoJo and be like, can you just clean up their hair? Yeah. She's like, it's wet now.
Yeah, no, it's like Hillary's hair would totally change if it got too wet. And Joy's would too, depending on, you know, how much we had blown it dry or if she pulled down her ponytail after the first take and said it wouldn't show. Probably wearing the poncho that everybody but you hated. I didn't hate it. I thought it was cute. Ponchos were in by then, but I don't know if that leather pants knew that.
Oh my God, JoJo, I love you.
That's, by the way, okay, so the one that shall not be spoken of will forever now be known as Leather Pants. JoJo has branded it.
That's it.
It's done.
Leather Pants.
JoJo's good at nicknames.
Started out blue jeans and went Leather Pants.
Wow. Oh, God. Gross. Well,
hey, JoJo, because I think some of the technical stuff is really interesting to people, especially like, you know, some of the language we know, like, does it read, whatever. And you just said, if there's anybody listening who wants to be a hairstylist, write down what you're doing. I'm actually curious, because I do think there's probably a lot of people listening to this show who are into the film industry. Can you explain to people listening who might be curious about your line of work, like, what is day-to-day life like on set for a hairstylist? And what's the difference when you're a key hairstylist or you're the department head for hair? What do those things mean for film industry curious listeners at home?
Hello, curious listeners. department head is, you know, you can have a team of, you know, yourself and two more or three more. And, you know, depending upon the size of the TV series you're on or the movie. I haven't done a movie in a while, but you know, episodic, after doing movies and doing episodic, it is so hard. It's much harder than film or features, but the family unit that you build with and everybody knowing your name is so much, just means so much more. And department head, you're pretty much, you know, you're in charge of, well, on the show I'm on, the guys, you know, really let us be involved in the creative process. So we've actually got, I got to help create these characters and their hairstyles and stuff. So you do that and you make sure the scheduling is right. And it turns out sometimes the department head turns out to be more about making the schedules and paperwork and sending in budgets and ordering. But
you're doing a lot of management work when you're the department.
Yes. And if you get yourself a good team and you get to do both. That's the juggling that you do. And then you're on set making sure those hairstyles look awesome all day. And sometimes you have to make that same hairstyle look the same for 8 hours when in fact on the show, it might be 1 second or 1 minute.
And then you also have to be a therapist.
I would never title myself as a therapist. I would say I just lived it a little bit before y'all did.
So I think you were well suited to us, though, Joe, because you like bartended back in the day. Like your experience back in the day was kind of what we as young actresses were living. It just like going out in a town, going to see bands, like just trying to get involved. And you really coached us through it. We always had good music in the trailer. Like we had good coffee in the trailer. Oh. We had good music in the trailer and we had good vodka in the trailer. And I don't know if you can go wrong with that combination.
JoJo, what are some of your strongest memories from your time on One Tree Hill?
I want to say flashback when everybody was dressed up. God, there's so many. Watching Lee Norris cheer. That was one of my favorite. He worked so hard. He did so good. Whereas the real cheerleaders, all you girls, like, oh, we've got this. And then there's like hundreds of real cheerleaders. And then y'all had to learn your routine like...
Oh my God.
Oh, that's
listen,
right.
That episode's coming up, Joe. And we were terrible.
Y'all cracked
me. We were terrible.
Y'all were like mad at each other, but not really. But then mad at yourself because you didn't get the routine. And like, oh, we've got this, whatever.
And there's like 400 extras watching
Lee
us.
Norris,
and we're just.
Lee Norris is jammed. I mean, he was so good.
Oh, you know, I hope
everybody that's listening hasn't seen that episode, so they're going to really know what Lee can do.
Oh, yeah. He practiced for so long. Yeah. And they would always, so when we had to do, do you remember when we had to do that stuff? They'd be like, well, we'll have someone come show it to you guys before you have to film. And we were like, we can't learn a whole ass dance in 30 minutes.
A whole ass dance.
What are you guys talking about? Like, we don't know what we're doing.
Y'all were so funny when you were, the 10 minutes you had to be taught, you know, before we shot it. Y'all were so funny. I had to walk away. I was like, oh my God. And I'm not there.
Because that feeling of like trying so hard to focus and also knowing that no matter how hard you focus, you are just going to fail.
Yeah.
And there's all these people standing there looking at you.
Did you come up with like, well, let's just be bad, you know, and make it look like we meant that or something?
We were like, let's just start doing the robot and the can-can. We made up all that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Not everybody can be a winner. Yeah, that was a good one. JoJo was also great. I would have these Halloween parties where we always had like a theme, right?
Yeah, you had crazy Halloween parties. You're the only person I know that didn't have to decorate her house for Halloween.
Shut up. It's true, though. I mean, I lived in squalor and haunted house. And
spooky, scary.
It was frightening. Spooky.
A coffee table that was a coffin.
I did. Yeah. I did.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
That's right.
Dude, when I moved in with Jeff, he's like, you can't bring any of that. That is too much. It's too much. But Joe would come decked out. Ooh. I'm going to post some pictures from our Halloween parties. Everyone would get to the house at like 9 or 10, and then JoJo will have sat in like hair and makeup for like 3 more hours. So by the time she gets to the party, she's already like half gone. You would set up and then you would disappear. You came as JoJo, the dog faced girl.
Yeah, because everybody liked to call me that because of my name. So Rachel decided that she would make me. And I remember drinking or eating
burger. Rachel was our makeup artist.
Oh my God. I remember that and that hair me swap. Oh my God. I almost gagged just now thinking about it. Because I did.
It was our carnival theme party. What'd you do for the you came dressed as a princess to our fairy tale party. That was a good one. Weren't you like an evil queen?
I had poison apples and I made the shots.
Yes. So. It's good to have a bartending hairdressing friend to take care of you at your party.
Yes, indeedy.
Boy, I just remember when you had the big, you put up the big screen in one of your houses and you showed movies and stuff.
Yeah, I had I didn't get a TV. I just had a projector and I painted a giant, like a reflective screen on the wall. That was at my old, that place on Orange Street. And I had big velvet curtains and I loved antique shopping in Wilmington. That was so fun. I want to know some secrets. I want to know some fun stuff that we can talk about that's like fun trailer secrets that we would have forgotten or, you know, things that maybe like some of us don't know because others weren't there.
Okay, so the secrets are Joy didn't know what a hickey was.
Oh my God.
And the other secret, Barbara Allen Woods, they asked her to be in bra and panties on the billboard thing, remember?
Oh, that's right.
And she asked me, she said, God, well, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Why? I said, you know what, Barbara? Like, I can't remember. I just said, you know what? I don't know how old you are or whatever. I said, but you know what? I remember reading that a real famous actor said she wished she would have done more in her 40s or 30s. You know, when she was in her 50s, she was saying this. And I said, you know what, Barbara, you got a rocking body. Freaking show it off. You know, just do it.
Guys, JoJo literally said that to me 2 months ago. She was doing my hair at her house in Georgia. And she's like, Hillary, you're covering up too much. It's time.
But she had to do it on TV in the middle of all of those crew members in bra and panties on a damn billboard and stuff. And I said, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. But, it, you know, do it. Don't do it because they're making you do it because you want to say, look at me. I'm fucking rocking this body. And she did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did it.
I love that.
You did always add that perspective to a lot of the stuff that we had to do where it was like, you know what? Some of this is really kind of misogynistic and whatever, but if we own it and do it our way and posture it in the way that we're comfortable, it helped so much to know that there were women on our team when we had to do some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the sex scenes that we had to shoot as teenagers.
Oh my God.
Like,
I had to leave the stage if I heard, you know, because the sound is so much louder when you're, you know, when you're on, especially if you.
Oh, it's horrible.
And when that kissing thing, I loved all of you so much. I said, if I have to listen to the kiss one more time, I'm going to throw up. I mean, I just have to, you know, just leave. It felt voyeuristic and I didn't like it.
You were there for all of the battles that we would have about those scenes and about like what we were supposed to wear and, you know, how in depth the scenes were going to be and us fighting for our characters and knowing that we were in a position of young high school girls looking up to us and being and really caring about the message that we were putting out for them. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I remember that too. I remember that you were always there. You heard all of it and you were constantly giving us advice on never telling us what to do, but like helping us sort out what our thoughts actually were so that we could present an argument to the people that were in charge, that we were butting up against, that was intelligent and adult, and you know, that we could really present ourselves in a way that was effective.
JoJo, thanks for hanging out with us. Are we your favorites? Can we tell the other kids that we're your favorites?
You like us the best.
I think everybody knew that and knows that and still, and I love you so guys so much. And it's not a day that goes by that I don't think about you and say thank you for the stuff that you taught me.
We love you so,
love
so you,
much. And I miss Patch.
Oh, puppies. Me too.
I know. Joanne, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I tell a story no less than once a month. And I'll never forget it. And I think this is probably something, I know it's a thing that I needed to hear. And I know it's probably something that so many of our listeners at home need to hear. You know, so many of us are really good at showing up for other people and loving our friends while doubting ourselves. I mean, it's what kept the three of us, you know, what let us be manipulated for so long when we were little girls was that we, each of us like sat in the corner looking at the others being like, wow, they're so amazing. And I'm the odd man out. Like we didn't know how to turn it around and we didn't know how to get over the hurdle of just asking. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in your chair one day and I just was venting and I was like, and I'm bad at this and I'm failing at this and this isn't working. And I was just like really on a moment of criticizing myself so aggressively the way that, you know, we all negative self-talk, but I was doing it out loud in front of you and you went and you listened and then you went, and I could just feel your hand getting like more frantic in my hair. And finally you threw the brush on the counter and you spun me around in the chair. You grabbed me by the shoulders and you shook me and you looked me in the eye and you said, you watch your mouth. You're talking about my best friend like that.
Oh,
oh God.
And even now it makes me want to cry. It was such, I mean, you shook me out of some things. And I realized I would never let anybody talk about any of you the way I was talking about
myself. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah. It was such a wake-up call. And I tell that story to anybody who's having a bad day. I'm like, well, you know what my friend JoJo said to me one day? Because it's just, oh, it's so good. It's so good. You also said, was it you or was it Kelly Jefferson who said my second favorite thing to me about a goat?
Kelly Jefferson.
Or was it you? Yes, Kelly Jefferson.
And she can also Jefferson. Tell you how to eat a whole cupcake without messing up your lipstick.
Okay. All right.
We need Kelly Jefferson on this.
Kelly was our makeup artist. We'll have to have her on next.
Kelly Jefferson told me, you know, all of us ladies, we went through some falling ins and outs of love. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget Kelly one day when we were all venting in the trailer going, oh, girls, come on. Hate. She goes, love and hate are just two horns on the same goat.
So southern.
It's so good. So the two of you really gave us some jewels for our crowns.
Can we do it again? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
I saw all of us on the same show.
Love you, JoJo.
We love you so much. I love you, Joe.
Bye. Tell Dean we love him.
Bye, Joy. Bye, Sophia. Bye,
thank
Hillary.
You. Bye.
Bye, baby.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's so great to be able to just pick right back up with people. You know,
back up.
I feel like I got really lucky because I went to go visit Jeff on set on The Walking Dead a few years ago. And I didn't have George yet. So I bring Gus to set, and Taylor, who is the key hairdresser on The Walking Dead, had done our pilot. She was the hairdresser on the pilot. And it's only when she didn't sign up to do the whole show that JoJo came in and took over, and they're like best friends.
Aww.
So Taylor comes out of the trailer and goes, "Oh my God, wait until you see who's here." And the door flies open and JoJo comes running out, and we just like burst into tears. Aww. And it was, Jeff's like, "Why are you crying? What is going on right now?" But it's so nice to have those friendships that are only born from like being together 18 hours a day, yeah, every single day. Mm-hmm. And they last forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, being on set the way we all do it, both with the location and the hours, you know, I joked with a friend on a job recently that it's kind of like an arranged marriage.
Yes.
Like you just show up and you're married to this whole group of people.
Yeah.
Because you see these people way more than you see anybody you might actually be married to or know. And you're just like in it for a decade.
And you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back and have a little bit more to talk about with this episode. We had some Haley and Peyton connecting. We had some really nice acting work from James Lafferty. And we also have a spinning wheel of Most Likely Two and some listener questions. So stay tuned.
Friends, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home? I don't think so.
I don't think there is. No, no. Oh, that feeling of just walking in the door and it's like, my life is okay. I'm not a total disaster. Like,
yeah.
I really feel better about myself when my house is clean. And I think the best way to achieve that relaxing feeling of a clean home, Clorox Scentiva.
Clorox Scentiva provides a powerful clean with refreshing scents. And you can find your home's signature scent. It might be coconut, grapefruit, lavender. There is a scent for every vibe.
Oh, it's grapefruit for me, all the way.
Lavender for me.
Friends, transform your home into an oasis.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence.
Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Listen, you guys, I'm obsessed, and I just never really saw it coming.
What are you obsessed with?
I don't obsess over things, but I am obsessed with Skims.
Oh, I was wearing this yesterday, my cotton jersey t-shirt from Skims. They're so soft, and they hug my body in such a comfortable way that I don't feel like I'm strapped in, like it's all really breathable, but it's very flattering. It's really cute, but it's a nice fabric. So it feels like I can throw it on with sweats or with a kind of a fancy skirt and go upscale at night. There's something about this t-shirt that's really versatile. I love it.
From cropped silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there is a style for everyone, literally everyone. Skims makes the best basics and foundations.
You're going to become one of those ladies where you open up the drawer, you open the cabinets,
it.
And it's all the same shirt just over
it's
and over and over
again. It's a uniform.
Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes XXS to 4X.
Now, if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Nothing is more fun for me than decorating, whether it's like I've moved, I have to go on location somewhere, or my friends are moving. I just want to design people's houses. It's happy. And you know, like a place goes from just being, you know, like a box you live in to a home.
Only Wayfair has everything you need to bring that vision to life. I can attest to this personally. I'm on this site all the time finding amazing things for my home. Wayfair is the place to shop for everything home from sofas and beds to dining sets and decor. No matter your style or budget, there is a Wayborhood in every zip code brought to life by everyone who makes their home truly their own with Wayfair.
A huge selection of home goods ranging from appliances and area rugs to beds and wall art. Everything you need for your living room, outdoor areas, bedroom, and more. Wayfair makes it easy with fast and free shipping, even on the big stuff, and they'll even help you set it up.
Every style is welcome in the Wayborhood. Visit Wayfair.com or get the Wayfair mobile app. That's W-A-Y-F-A-I-R.com. Wayfair. Every style, every home.
I spent the first trimester of my pregnancy with Gus in Puerto Rico. And if you're going to be sick and grumpy and tired, it's such a beautiful place. Like, it really fixes a lot.
It really is. I shot a movie there and I shot my first commercial there when I was 14 years old. It was so fun. And I've been back 3 times since then. My cousin used to live there and it's just a fabulous place. I love it.
I learned this word from Gina Rodriguez, who is probably the biggest Puerto Rico fan of all of us. Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than just a name. It's a way of life. It's a representation of the spirit of the island, you know?
The unique Boricua spirit infuses the music and welcoming spirit of the island in Puerto Rico. If you can hear the music, you're invited to the party.
Mm. Sometimes it's salsa, sometimes it's plena, sometimes it's reggaeton. No matter what the rhythm is calling to you, when you hear it, it's always time to dance.
All I want to do now is dance with y'all. Let's go.
Well, in Puerto Rico, you can't step outside without hearing music. Puerto Rico has renowned bars and nightlife and a welcoming spirit.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents.
Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Ooh, honey. You know that I can't wear fancy shoes with a dress. I am a boots and dress woman. So now that festival and concert season are going to be all about boots, Tecovas must be your stop before attending your next concert, you guys. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparels, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. This is so important. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. And the smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. And find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Everyone, we have news.
Hi, we're doing a virtual event in September in honor of One Tree Hill
Day.
Yes,
we are. Yeah, 9/23. Everyone in the OTH fam knows it's our favorite day. And this event is also going to benefit one of our favorite groups. Us ladies are raising money for Kind Campaign because they do incredible work in schools to end bullying. And honestly, our Tree Hill High School needed that.
Yes, ma'am.
For sure.
Yes, ma'am. So there is a lot of information forthcoming, but check out loopedlive.com. They have everything right there and more info will be added soon. So we can't wait to see you guys.
See you on OTH Day. One of the things that I'm realizing after reminiscing with JoJo, our favorite gal on planet One Tree Hill, is that she had that energy for us that you saw in Deb tonight when she was like, you smug son of a bitch, I will stab you in your sleep. I'm like, I believe Barbara would do that for us. And also JoJo's that kind of woman. She is the one who's like, you mess with my girls and I'll bleach all your hair off.
Yeah. By the way.
By the way.
Like a little nick on the ear here.
And oh, you want a haircut?
A little. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that my curling iron? I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah. She's one of those people who will come to your defense. What a treat.
Yep. She's amazing.
But it was cool to see Deb's escalation over the course of how many episodes has it been, Joy? Like,
well, I guess 4 since she appeared, I think. Yeah. But yeah, it's been a slow burn. And she, as we've said, she's handled it with class the entire time, leading by example, setting an example of how to be patient and kind and loving, but still have boundaries. But this was the last straw.
It was
you
good
cannot
to see.
Keep a mother from her injured son. No way.
Oof.
Yeah, I liked seeing her blow a gasket. And I think it, you know, Barbara talked about this herself. She's like, once they saw what I could do, you know, that 3-episode arc, it gave them ideas for other stuff. And so you see the seed being planted for like intense Deb later down the road, the one that's like yelling to people for fun. You know, like we're seeing her maybe enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like this feels new.
That's right.
I like it.
I really liked the scene that you and I had, Hillary, in the was it the library?
It feels good to have JoJo on for this episode in particular, because as someone that grew up with all brothers, I always had difficulty communicating with girls my own age. I could communicate with like older women because I grew up doing theater with them, and I could communicate with like little girls, but girls my own age, I struggled with. And JoJo was such a good girlfriend coach. Like JoJo, if I took something the wrong way, other people might feed into it and be like, oh, that is messed up. And JoJo was always like, grow up. Like, what's the problem? Okay, that sounds dumb. You know, like she was like, be a good girlfriend. You show up, you listen. It's not about you. You know, like she didn't mince words, which I needed. I needed a firm hand. And she was, you know, a lot of people treat actors with kid gloves. And I think that was
crazy.
Well, so that was a problem on our show, I think. Every other department has a department head, right?
Yeah.
Who sets the tone for their department, can reprimand people. There's no department head for the talent department, right? So we don't have meetings.
Well, number one on the call sheet usually, you know, is supposed to set the tone.
But
we were kids.
About kids? Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. When a kid is the number one, it's a recipe for disaster. Because when you're a kid, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. What are they going to tell Moira? You know?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a bad idea.
Oh, Moira. Moira should have been the department head of the actors. Yes. God, she would have been great.
We need a department head in our group. And so for me personally to have JoJo be like, be a good girlfriend and value your female friendships more than boy.
Yeah.
You know, she was always that cheerleader.
Yeah.
But the scene, the scene with Haley and Peyton, so important to me personally, because we'd struggled with all the sexuality stuff. And I think it's the first time really that Peyton sounds jealous that Haley is a virgin, you know? And I think there are girls really like that out there.
Yeah, I know there are. I was one for sure in high school. I mean, and that's why it was important to me to read the line that way, because it was written on paper as like an embarrassed, like, well, so what if I am? Like, don't make fun of me, blah, blah, blah. And I like most of the girls that I went to high school with were virgins for, I mean, I don't know what happened after they graduated, but at least during, you know, during the time that I was there, like that. That was the majority. And I just wanted to represent that as a normal option. You know what I mean?
Especially,
so I'm glad that they allowed me to do that as well.
I think it's important, especially because for so long, and I know we're having different conversations now, but we certainly were not in 03. For so long, virginity was represented as this thing that, like, made you special, but also made you prude, and that guys would try to take, but you shouldn't give them, but then you shouldn't not, because then you're a tease, and that, like,
and then you're ruined if you do suddenly.
Yeah, like it was all wrapped up in the male gaze and in the like traditional Madonna whore complex and all this gross toxicity. And it was so refreshing to me, not being in the scene with you guys, just watching it, to see two girls with two different experiences,
with the same boy.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking, like, neither of them's being judged. Like, you make your choices as a woman, and you do what you're ready for, period. And it doesn't have to do with anybody else or a boy or what anyone else is going to say to you. And I loved that neither Haley or Peyton was shamed in that scene.
Yeah.
Neither of them was made better than the other. They were just being supportive.
It's really beautiful.
It's beautiful. It was beautiful. And you guys played it so beautifully. And Joy, I love that you made that choice to be like, so what? Like, I like me, you know? It was such a good vibe. I'm into myself.
Well, it gave everyone permission.
Yeah.
You know?
That's, yeah, I really wanted to. That was a really intentional choice. Mm-hmm. And I remember that they, because I remember the way that it was written. I remember it was like she was supposed to be embarrassed. And I just was so, I don't know if I had to fight for that or if they just let me. I don't remember. Know.
When we watched it, I didn't remember us shooting it. And the more we talk about it, the more I remember, like now I'm remembering the muscle memory of that scene.
Ooh.
And I remember it being a conversation. I remember it being like a thing that you were very concerned about. And you were like, this is how it's happening. And that's the only way it's going to happen. Which was awesome.
Yeah, well, we were all very conscious. As I said before, we were conscious that there were young girls looking up to us. And there was already a lot of sexualization happening on the show from a male perspective. And it was just so important to me that there was a demographic represented in a positive way, you know, so that girls just that weren't making that choice did feel comfortable with it and
weren't
had
getting tattoos and getting drunk in bars.
And they just had somebody to identify with that was like, you know, I like the way she's doing it. And that they felt it wasn't like an embarrassment. It wasn't posturing or trying to make up for like, oh no, I like it. It's fine. I'm a virgin. Well, leave me alone. You know, none of that. No, it was just, I wanted it to be confident and totally comfortable with who she is. But anyway, we've talked enough about that. And I want to talk about James in this episode,
yes,
because he is so damn good.
So yeah. Good.
I remember he was working with a coach too, an acting coach, which is such a testament to, I mean, he's 17 or 18 at the time and so committed to this work, so committed to doing a great job and showing up on with the work done and prepared and ready to just dive in and commit fully emotionally to the scene. Not a lot of young guys have that in them. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's also a lot of ego. Like, I don't need a coach. I don't need a coach, you know?
Right.
James was so willing to do whatever it took to find it. And his voice was the thing that really captured my attention because it was like, oh my God, that's a sick, sad kid.
Yeah, when he comes to Haley after the hospital incident, that sound is heartbreaking. His voice sounds like broken glass.
Yeah. It does. It was such a great choice.
And I loved, too, thinking about the connection of these two scenes. The moment between you two ladies in the tutoring center makes it so clear when he's apologizing for his behavior, for pressuring her physically, saying that she was the one he looked at, like, before he really blacked out. And he admits his terror. He says, I was terrified. And then asks to stay. It's so clear that he just wants to be held. He wants to sleep next to her. And I don't know if that would have been as clear when she shuts the door, if it hadn't have been for the scene between the two of you and Haley owning her choice to, you know, wait to be intimate. And it just gave it this innocence and this vulnerability that, oh, that's a beautiful scene between you two.
Thank you. I loved it too. I thought I liked also that I didn't remember shooting the scene, so I was a little unsure of what was going to happen, and I was like, is this going to go in the direction of Haley now is going to be willing to sleep with him because she feels bad for him because she wants to take care of him? Because
that's
some way.
A bad. Like, hey, at home, don't do that.
Yeah, that's not the way. That's not the way. But. I was a little unsure, but it felt to me like when she shut the door, it was more of a choice of like, I'm going to do something that I'm not supposed to boy sleep over, but it's like Haley's parents trusted her and I'm having a boy sleep over to have sex with him. I'm having this boy sleep over because he needs me and I'm a good friend and I'm a good, you know, I'm a good person and I'm going to cross a line that I'm not supposed to, but it's not really doing anything that's breaking her own boundaries. Do you know what I'm saying? Sorry if I'm babbling.
That feels important. Absolutely. Because there are so many incremental lines as a young woman, especially before you choose to be in a physically intimate relationship. Like, you know, when he ruins it in the beginning of the episode and you guys are making out and then he tries to move on you and you're like, get out. It's like, oh, remember a good old fashioned just high school makeout? Yeah. Like, how sweet. Awesome. They're That's so what I want awesome. My birthday. And like, I mean, hi, we
Me too.
We might know your husband. We can tell him. But like, there's all these things, you know, the first time you sleep next to someone is yeah. such a big deal. Mm. And the beauty and the like sweet youthful innocence of loving a person and like curling up and just going to sleep. It's so nice. And to be able to go back into that high school space and take all of the much smaller, you know, increments is really lovely that we get to do it with these two. And that, granted, he pushes her too far, but she stands up for herself. He gets out. He realizes he was pushy. He apologizes. You know, relationships can be a little complicated in those ways, especially when you're young and fumbly and terrible. young boys can be terrible. And I think to figure out where everyone's boundaries are, it's lovely to see it between two characters who are at different levels of sexual right. experience.
Mm. Well, I remember being told, like, well, once a boy has sex, like, that's all he's ever going to want. You know, like, don't date the boys who are loose because they'll expect that from you. Always date, like, the square boys, which I never did. but that was, like, a thing, you know? Yeah. You can't put Pandora's box, like, you can't close it once it's been opened, which I think is bullshit.
It is bullshit. And also, it gives this notion of, like, all boys will be boys, their hormones, way too much power, and it gives them excuses. It's like, no, you're going to listen to a woman. Consent is not a... Who said this? Oh, my God. Oh, Taylor
consent
Tomlinson.
Consent is sexy.
She is one of my favorite comedians, and she said, consent is not a feeling you feel. It's a thing she says.
Yes.
Unequivocally. Yes. It has to be clear. Like, and I... We talked about this a while back, but this actually feels like an important thing to kind of get in the weeds on. Being a human is messy, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, getting into a friendship is messy. We all talk about the messiness of our friendships and our confusion at 21. It can be a little messy when people are trying to figure out, especially people who could potentially be interested in each other, like, does this person like me as a friend or does this person like me romantically? Sometimes it means... you know, you get hit on by a guy and you have to be like, oh, not into you that way. Let's be friends. And
it was so nice.
Awkward.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks.
I'm and flattered. That, thank you.
That's okay. That's normal. Having to figure out your boundaries is normal. And then there's obviously the other more complex, nightmarish spaces of abuses of power and harassment and things that we've also all been very open to.
Yeah.
And I think what can be really sticky for everybody is figuring out, as we're trying to get much clearer as a society, where in our own experiences there, you know, as one of one, like, where is there room to make a mistake or to ask or to say, like, hey, I'm very interested in you and I don't know if you feel the same way. And if you don't, that's okay. Not trying to make you uncomfortable. Like, nobody knows...
Yeah.
Quite how to do it right. And so one of the things I like is that we didn't smooth it over in the story and like make it all seem perfect and squeaky clean. Like, Nathan screwed up. Haley stood up for herself. He said, I'm really sorry I pushed you that way. Like, I like that we showed how you can overcome a mistake if you're willing to be communicative and be a good person.
Communication is everything.
It is everything. And by Haley closing the door at the end of that scene, to me, that says apology accepted and I trust you not to do it again.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, which is sweet. It's also, I'm jealous having watched this episode that your scene turned out like loving and nice. And Peyton was left at a door for 27 minutes.
Oh my God. It's the longest scene of all time between the three of us.
Holy.
Like, what is that? Also,
I don't know.
Guys, I was on a soap opera for 2 years. That was the longest I ever saw.
The longest unspoken look. I will also say this is the second time in the first 9 episodes that Brooke Davis has been used purely as a device to like make something happen for another person. So at the party, she's a nightmare to stir up the drama so everyone fights. And now I've had to get a tattoo so we can cover Chad's real tattoo. And then, but like, interestingly, even though they were pretending to be grownups at this bar, there were moments of sweetness, like Brooke and Lucas joking about weird science and talking about what they're into.
That scene was fun.
I loved that scene.
Yeah.
And then you get right back into like some ding dong boy always wanted a girl to say this to him. I come out of that bedroom going, "You ready to score?"
It's gross. I missed that. I didn't hear that. That's what you said.
All right, superstar, you ready to score? It's so disgusting. Gross. I would never.
And the fact that the two girls never say, we're best friends, and we don't even say, sup. You know, like nothing.
Yeah, nothing. No.
Can we just promise that if we're ever kissing the same person in the, you know, the next 70 years, if we see each other, like, let's say sup.
Yeah.
Hey, girl.
Sup.
Hey.
Yeah.
Sup.
Yeah.
That's what we can do. Most likely to have a stare down.
Most likely to be in the world's longest soap opera scene. Me and Hillary.
I want somebody to cut together all of the soap opera stairs, like longest soap opera stairs in history. Just the stairs. That's what I want to see.
I love that. Oh, speaking of the amazing things our fans do for us, and we did talk about Brooke and Lucas having this pool shark evening at the Blue Post. One of you guys tweeted me a photo of my plaque from the Blue Post Beer Club that is still up. And I just want to say thank you very much. I really liked it.
Round of applause
for our awesome fans.
All right, let's spin the wheel.
Oh, guys.
Most likely to marry someone 25 years older than them.
Well,
we're not at 25, but
on our show, it's Rachel.
Yeah,
yes,
that is true.
And Rachel in real life, Hillary, how much older than you is Jeffrey?
We're at a strong 17.
Hey,
that's pretty great.
I mean,
listen, what I like is that to him, I'll be 26 forever, like forever, which is great. Like that's the upside. So if you want to be awesome. A pet forever, you know.
Joy, do we know how much older than you Craig Sheffer is? Because he might still be single.
Hey, honestly, Joy could break my record.
What a love story that would be.
Guys,
no, listen, no. I think
it was a girlhood crush. I think I've moved.
Right. It's graduated. All in the clear, but Joy, realistically though, you could beat my record. So we're going to open up the search.
Watson has a question for us, and I'm going to go on a limb and say in the first 9 episodes, from an acting perspective, what was the hardest scene to film, whether complex or emotionally and physically grueling? Because if we tried to do that for the whole 9 years, we're going to do a whole other episode.
Yeah.
So far in these first 9 episodes, what's been like, you know, the most complex for each of us to do?
I mean, running red lights felt real irresponsible. That was terrible, you know, but because no one could really explain it to me. I had trouble with that, but I also had trouble with the whole like Thud magazine. Like, it's my art, Lucas. It's my art. That was hard for me to give that speech. Art is important.
Art really, really matters to me.
Yeah, I felt like Zoolander, honestly. It was like, it's for kids who can't read good. Yeah.
Joy, what do you got?
I don't know. I don't think I've had to do anything that was difficult yet. Everything. I mean, the most difficult thing for me as an actor was the basketball days when I just had to sit there. And, you know, that's just like a mental exercise in zen, your ability to just like zen out. No, I haven't. Not yet. Not yet. I haven't had anything. What about you?
Yeah, you just had so much like great, charming, like.
Yeah, it was all pretty light for me.
Real talk.
Hmm. I think the thing that was hardest for me, like hooking up with random dudes on camera just felt so gross to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know about this. And also, I don't know. You hear horror stories, and I remember just thinking, like, is it inappropriate of me to ask to guarantee that none of these people has like herpes before they put their face on my face? Like, it always just made me feel so nervous.
Mm.
And then the party episode was hard. Like Brooke being what felt to me like cruel and having to find interior motivations to create reasons for that, I was just like, this feels sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this question from Katie. If Brooke, Haley, and Peyton were in high school today, what would their Instagram handles be? I mean, I guess I'd be Tudor Girl 23, right?
Yes. Oh,
at Tudor Girl 23.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Peyton, what was her? Hers was like Punk and Disorderly. There was one. Like she had Punk and Disorderly.
That was your
It'd be something like grumpy, like go away, you know?
Yeah.
You
know? Don't look at me.
Yeah. Look at me. Don't look at me.
I feel like I see people who do this and I'm like, wow, that takes a lot of confidence. So I'm going to borrow from other people. I think, because mine is just my name, I think Brooke's Instagram handle would probably be at the Brooke Davis.
Yes, of course she would. You know,
there are people out there who are at the and then their name. And I'm like, damn, that takes confidence. I think that's what Brooke would do.
Yeah, strong move. Uh-huh. That was a good question.
Yeah, thanks, Katie. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for this episode of Drama Queens. Can't wait to see you next week.
What a great one. Next episode is episode 10. We're getting into double digits, babies.
Woo! It Congratulations, girls.
You Gotta Go There to Come Back, which is kind of what we're doing with this podcast. You know, we're coming back home.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
Oh,
it's cute.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at DramaQueensOTH.
Or email us at DramaQueens@iHeartRadio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape Resorts and Spas and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Boy, I've spent definitely a significant amount of time in therapy in my life, and I think there's just so many layers to life that can be hard to navigate, and having somebody there to just talk through things really makes the days easier sometimes.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. I don't know about y'all. I love the holidays, and they also stress me out. Yesterday, I was trying to get everybody's gifts wrapped, and I just needed a second. I was on my fourth paper cut, and I was like, okay, take a walk around the house, calm yourself down. And you know what I did? I went and got myself a cookie, and I felt better. So all I'm saying is if you're tired or besieged by paper cuts, I think you deserve a cookie too.
I agree. Guys, Keebler Sandies are buttery. They're shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, pecans, and almonds.
And each Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by those cute little Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies. It's the perfect treat that'll keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandy's shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Is it hoarding if it's boots? I don't think so. A woman can never have too many pairs of boots. It's the perfect gift for your loved ones and for yourself. So this festival and concert season is all about boots. Everybody has to show up in style, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert with all your friends. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You guys, have you heard about Squarespace? You must have, because I talk about it all the time. Their website has helped me with my businesses, but it will also help you grow your business. And it really does take the guesswork out of building a website. They have so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of our favorite product features is the Fluid Engine. With Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. Start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine, built in and ready to go on any new Squarespace site. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.